This Civic Media podcast is sponsored by UW Organ and Tissue Donation. Organ donations are desperately needed, and now is the right time to become an organ donor. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. Go to heroicdeed.com.
The following program, the John and Gordy Morning Show, is brought to you by John Peterson and Gordy Young, a wholly owned subsidiary of John and Gordy Productions, in association with Civic Media and the John and Gordy Company, Incorporated International. And now, here they are, John and Gordy. We're sorry.
WMDX. You can also catch it on the Civic Media app. Check it out there. You can go anywhere in the world and listen to the program, which is happening an awful lot. We just can't track you down. It doesn't show up in the ratings. I want to at least bridge this gap, okay?
What?
We've got the drone problem. We've never really talked about it on this show.
Not yet.
And I just want to at least touch on this phenomenon that's taking place in New Jersey, and a lot of people are seeing it, they're capturing it on their cameras. Everybody's talking about it. The U.S. government is denying it. They've got still frames of it. They've blown up some of the images.
Yeah, they got video and everything.
They look like jets, but of course, you know, they're jet-shaped drones, essentially. And that's the crazy part. They've got a lot of video on this. Everybody's got their phones out, and they're recording this. Yeah. And there's a lot of evidence. And the U.S. government comes out and said, oh, you people are just imagining things.
they don't seem concerned about it. Nobody's getting hurt. That doesn't seem like they're threatening or anything. They're just hovering around New York and New Jersey. No big deal.
Why go out on a limb and say, you guys are crazy.
John, both of you lived, you probably don't remember it super well, but you lived through the UFO and Area 51 craze in the 1950s. Yes. Isn't this just the same thing?
No, now they've got a lot of video on this thing, and you can't deny that there's something up in the sky.
Well, and Senator Blumenthal yesterday, I saw him make a comment. They had to shoot it down. Shoot some of these down. See what they are.
In residential neighborhoods. Who gives a damn where your ammo ends up?
Right.
Well,
I think they know what they are, but they don't. Maybe they're from. We don't know.
The flight patterns look like drones. Right. I mean, the way they move, it's drone-like. These aren't jets. These aren't airplanes that they're saying, oh, it's just airplanes flying low because they never did before. Come on, folks. This is a threat. We're on the verge of being invaded by drones.
I think the only solution to this is to start getting drones ourselves and going after them to figure out what they are.
Yes.
And we might have to have a drone dogfight up in the sky.
A vigilante drone committee?
Okay. Exactly.
All right. This is a little takeoff on the Star Wars theme, but it'll be the drone wars. All right?
Drone wars. Nothing
Not
but
the
drone
Clone
wars.
Wars. Clone Wars is the
Clone Wars?
Is the Star Wars reference.
Oh, okay.
Drone wars instead.
Yes.
I know you guys haven't seen any movies, so I have to kind of explain this stuff. But that's okay, you know? Yeah. It's good that I reinforce the stuff I've seen.
Well, you see all the movies. You see all the weird movies.
No, I don't. Not anymore. You know, listening to Schwab on the way to work today, him and Rob Thomas from the Capital Times, they're sitting there talking about every movie, and I'm just like, oh, man, I used to be able to do that.
I know. That was like you 20, 30 years ago.
Yeah.
You were on top of all those. What happened?
I saw
you don't
all
watch
movies.
Them anymore, huh?
I know.
All the new ones?
When you have to get up at 4:30 in the morning, it is no fun. You can't go to the movies all the time.
No. Well, that's why we have Rob Thomas doing
And the
it
show
now,
doesn't so. Write itself. So I spent all my time doing that as well.
Mm-hmm.
But, geez, a lot of good movies out there. You know, they talk about it like, well, you know, it was good, but I don't care too much about it. You know, the story was okay. You know, I'm thinking, wait a minute, is it a good movie or not? Is it creative? Does it throw you into a different universe? Do you think of other things when you're watching the movie? And they brought up, by the way, hundreds of beavers.
Because fantastic that's film.
Starting to make a lot of movies, but I don't know. Did Rob Thomas, and was there a beaver at the theater when you were at
the
Majestic?
There was not a beaver there, unfortunately. I think Rob Thomas was there, though.
Okay.
Yeah.
See, now here's the thing. He said that it is really fun to see hundreds of beavers in a crowded theater where people can react
and
can watch it.
Gordy, you really? Watched it alone your sad, sorry living room.
Thank you for reminding me. Yeah, sure.
I was at the theater that night, and everyone was cracking up. Yeah, it's so great watching it in a
really?
Theater.
Yeah.
Yeah. I just, it was very artsy. Technically, I thought it was brilliant. Man. You know, it was wonderfully done in the art direction and all that.
It was really cool.
I just didn't think much of the rest of it. Yeah. I didn't think it was that. It didn't get me.
I'm gonna give away a little something.
Okay.
Oh.
All
right.
Okay. Next time you watch a movie, kind of wait around to the end because they usually have a big ending.
See, that's exactly the wrong reason to watch a movie.
They culminate to the end of the movie.
No.
You know, the big scene at the end. You left early before the big scene.
If you want to do that, then develop a plot of some kind instead of just stringing together a bunch of random scenes that don't connect.
There is no plot. There is no plot. Trust me.
No. No. It didn't.
The guy is trying to capture beavers.
Yeah, okay.
More than that.
I didn't care about any of the characters in the film.
The beavers have a dark secret that they're hiding.
Okay.
Well, it's the dam that they're building.
Yeah, it's what's inside the dam.
Yeah, that's true.
What are they
true.
Building in there?
Right.
See, I think that's the key to a bad movie. If you have to tell somebody, you got to wait till the end of the film, you know, because that's when it really all comes together.
Wait a minute.
Really?
That's true.
Really? No.
That's true. It builds up to the end, you know? It's kind of a tricky ending.
It didn't grab me. Sorry. Visually stunning.
No, that's...
Lots of little sound effects. And,
it's not a big criticism. I'm just saying.
It was in focus. I like the focus of the movie.
When you watch a movie.
It sounded good.
Wait for the end at least, you know, if it doesn't come together for you, then you can complain. But if you leave before that, you don't even know what it was building up to, what all the little strands before that had to do with the story.
I didn't care about any of the characters. So I didn't
the
care
beavers?
What, any of them,
the,
any of the animated
the,
characters,
the two
or the,
beavers
or the
they
human
had.
Characters.
They had two beavers, and they made it look like they hundreds
had,
of beavers.
They had, okay, great.
See?
the guy who made it, Mike Chelsic, the first time I went to see it, he was in the theater, and he said, "This isn't a movie. This is a video I made on my computer."
Okay, well, there you have it. It was a nice little art project. I'd give him an A+ for art project.
Well, you know, I mean, you really have to see Lake Michigan Monster then.
Oh, God. Okay.
Okay, he doesn't like the style of the film.
No, I just, you know, it is probably another 2 hours of my life I'll never get back, but, you know, watching some of these movies.
All right, well, let's move
that's
on.
Hey, you know, people like it and some people don't.
That's okay. No,
movie aficionados, you know.
You can either like it or dislike it. All I'm saying is wait till the end of the damn movie.
Sorry, I was falling asleep. Yeah. Let's check out the National Day calendar. No, I didn't. It just, didn't get me.
All right.
Is it or is it not National Clean Out Your Closet Day? Is it National Guard Birthday Day? National Salesperson Day? Excuse me. National Violin Day? Violin Day? National Cocoa Day? National Day of the Horse? Or Pick a Pathologist Day? Which one of these days does not belong?
It's not Pick a Pathologist Day.
Well, you're wrong. It is Pick a Pathologist Day. By the way, it's Friday the 13th. Okay.
That is true.
Yeah. Sam, what day do you think it is not?
Violin Day.
Well, you're wrong too.
Oh,
it is National Violin Day.
Sure, that's not Violent Day.
No,
it's
not Violent.
Violent Day.
No,
Violent Day.
Sure, Catherine's excited. She plays the violin, doesn't she?
Yes. National Clean Out Your Closet Day. It's not that day. That's what I started with.
Oh man,
I fooled you guys again.
We're not getting anything from
Nobody
Rocker's
gets,
Closet
I,
today.
Nope, nothing. It's National Guard Birthday. We salute all the people that have been in the National Guard or in the National Guard.
Yeah.
National Salesperson Day. Let's look at National Violin Day.
Yeah,
why
let's
would
see that.
Today of all days be National Violin Day? Well, let's see. Honoring an instrument also known as the fiddle, National Violin Day On December 13th, celebrates how stringed instruments are loved around the world by drawing across the bow across. Okay, we know how violins work. Why would it be today? Looks like they've been around with modern characteristics. It kind of started up in Italy during the 16th century. Further modifications formed in the 18th and 19th century. Violins are really difficult to play, I think.
Are they?
Yeah. I mean, I've
no
played,
frets.
Frets. Yeah. I've played guitar for years and decades, but I wouldn't know how to begin to do the violin, because you got the bow with the horsehair thing, and you got to draw it just across the strings just right.
Yeah.
And again, no frets. No frets.
I know. You know, in the old horror thriller TV series, Thriller, with Boris Karloff, it always started off with violins. And inside some of the scariest scenes, you'd hear the sound of violins, scary sounding violins. Wow. So I played that for my son, and then he took up the violin in school.
Oh.
Yeah.
So you still play?
No.
Why not?
He stopped maybe three or four lessons in.
Oh, wow.
That's sad. Didn't work out for him. He didn't like the no frets either.
Okay. Yeah. Does he play any other musical instruments now?
Nope.
Oh, that's sad.
I know it is, isn't it?
Yeah.
He wanted to play guitar really badly.
Yeah.
But it just
didn't
work out.
Well, you could play really badly with just a couple of lessons. Yeah. If you want to really want to do that.
Oh, that's true.
Yeah, thank you.
That's true.
Be here all week. Oh, wait. Week's over. 1555 was the year that Andrea Amati got credit for the oldest documented four-string violin. Of course, get this. A Stradivarius violin sold for $15.9 million.
Wow.
It's called the Lady Blunt violin. Brought a record amount when it was auctioned off in 2011.
Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do tell. Okay.
Well, they're beautiful instruments.
Oh, gosh, yes. It's National Cocoa Day. Did I mention that?
No, you actually didn't.
National Day of the Horse. If you got a horse, you know, be nice to him.
Give it cocoa.
Give it cocoa.
No, chocolate's really bad for animals normally.
It's also Pick a Pathologist Day. What is a pathologist? Does anybody know? Let's see.
Pathologist? Somebody who studies like diseases, right?
Pathology.
All right. I don't.
You figure it out yet?
No. I'm not figuring. Pick a Pathologist Pal Day encourages us to make friends with a pathologist or a coroner, because you never know what tomorrow holds. Wow, this sounds a little grim, doesn't it?
It does sound grim.
When life is short, making friends with a pathologist or coroner may improve our outlook on life.
Wow.
Okay. Okay. We'll have to read into this.
No,
a little
you've
bit
got
more.
A real problem if you're looking for a coroner to be friends with.
Yes. So, okay. That's it for the National Day calendar, but we'll open up the dusty history book when we come back.
Talking to Pam Yonke, actually.
Oh,
she's
that's right.
Up.
Yes. Pam Yonke is next.
Pam Yonke is next.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Mm-mm-mm-mm-mm-mm-mm. 92.7 WMDXL. Interrupt my humming. Just so no one else is... irritated by it.
Okay.
I do that just for Gordy's sake.
Yeah, thank you.
He hates that.
621. It's 2 degrees this morning. Really cold out there. Bundle up. High today around 17. We have Pam Yonke on the line this morning for Midwest Farm Report.
Everybody gets to listen to Pam in the morning show here. So, Pam, welcome to the program.
Well, you said 2 above like it was a bad thing. Yesterday it was about 4 below.
We're making progress. It's slow, but yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
It's Friday the 13th, boys. Just consider yourself lucky that you're on this side of the turf.
Yes.
Exactly.
You know you're right.
Oh,
you
man.
You got to be thankful for what you got. Okay.
All right, let's talk about the state Christmas tree, the Capitol Christmas tree. What's going on with that?
Yeah.
It's a huge event.
Yeah, it's something that everybody looks forward to, I believe, when it comes to the holidays, and the tree arrived at the state capitol. What I did not realize, but thanks to Darren Smith, who is the building's keeper down at the state capitol, it's a balsam fir. they only want balsam fir. And you beg the question, well, why only balsam fir?
Yeah.
Well, they hold up really well. They travel really well. They present very well. And they're relatively easy to handle as far as weight. It takes about 50 people to harvest the tree. This year it came from the Burke family up in Rhinelander. Second year in a row now that that family has had a balsam fir that was tall enough to catch the attention of the state. Here's the other wacky part that I did not know.
Mm-hmm.
Balsam fir generally only grow north of Highway 8. It's got to be about soil type and that type of thing, but I did not realize that. Now I know. So they have to really search far and wide to find the state Christmas tree. And Darren tells us that when they get it harvested, bring it down to the state capitol, when everything's said and done and they've got it all decked out, it'll stand about 45 feet tall. So if you get a chance to go down by the state capitol and cast your eyes on the tree, now you know a little bit more about where it came from.
Yeah. Now, the balsam fir has short needles, right?
Right.
Okay.
Yes, correct.
All right.
Yeah, and I think that's some of the motivation why they try to select that variety. But then again, if you got to keep looking only north of Highway 8, you might want to start considering a few other varieties.
well, that's true. And, you know, but they've always politicized the damn Christmas tree at the Capitol.
Oh, come on.
You know,
yeah.
With the ornaments and who gets to put the ornaments on the tree.
Right. That's always an issue. Yeah. How long does it take to grow a tree that's 45 feet tall?
Oh, decades. You know, obviously some of it's going to depend on the weather. And I've got to believe that the soils up north of Highway 8 are not necessarily lush with nutrients, if you get where I'm going.
Yeah.
So I'm going to say that for every probably 10 feet, it's taken probably at least a decade to attain, maybe longer in some years. So whenever you can find a tree that's like that, I always think about that, even if for Christmas trees at church or event centers. Just and think about the Rockefeller Center out in New York.
Mm-hmm.
Just think about how long that tree has to have been around, undamaged by insects or weather or fires or anything like that, and been able to persist. I wish it could talk sometimes and tell the stories that it's witnessed.
Yeah, how did it survive, right?
Yeah.
The droughts that we get.
And we have a sponsor, Summer's Christmas Tree Farm, is advertising this time of year, and they've been in business. Yeah, they've been in business for decades.
That's right. And they've gone through the droughts. They've lost a lot of trees because of that.
Sometimes,
yeah. So you know, it's
the
tough.
Early ones are hard.
Haven't we sent Wisconsin Christmas trees out to the Capitol? I thought maybe the nation's capital. Somewhere along the way, we've done that before.
Yeah, we do. We do. In fact, we have. This year, I haven't heard the story, but we've got a Wisconsin Christmas Tree Growers Association. And aside from, taking care of their individual business, yes, they do put candidates up for the nation's Christmas tree, the White House, Capitol, and that type of thing. The other thing is, let's not forget trees for troops. Last time I checked, a group of tree growers up in northeast Wisconsin were sending more than 300 trees that were going specifically down to Kansas. And our military personnel down there so that they would have a Christmas tree.
The
Trees for Troops has been going on for a while.
That's great.
Now, Pam, I know you're busy and we got to wrap this up, but can we get to the whey products?
Yes. Cheese operators are moving to whey products now.
Yep.
What is that all about?
Yeah, why?
I'll give you the 911 quick, boys.
Okay.
And I didn't know this. Whey prices. So whey is a byproduct of cheese. It's the leftover, water, basically, salty water. And so what I found out is whey prices are at a historical high we haven't almost seen since the Carter administration. And I said, well, what's going on? Here, come to find out, all of those weight drugs like Ozempic and that type of thing that people are flocking to make those effectively work, you need to have a belly full of protein. So people are turning to high-protein energy drinks, high-protein sports drinks, and those type of drinks. And all of them are whey-based. So that weight loss craze that it has a lot of people talking is really, really, really helping to drive whey prices. And our cheese makers are starting to pivot, putting in facilities so that they can capitalize on what used to be a product. Man, when I was a kid, we used to spread that on the land as fertilizer or give it to the pigs as extra feed.
Well, you know, it's not, it, now they're feeding it to us.
No
but,
way.
But here's the thing. I've noticed that in the stores they have these protein bars now, and almost all of the bars are now protein bars, and that's where that whey is ending up, in those bars.
Yep. Look at the ingredient label and look for whey, W-H-E-Y.
All right. Okay. Pam, thanks for joining us this morning. We know you have an appointment, so we'll let you go, but fun talking to you.
Yeah. And we'll
have a great weekend.
We'll talk to you Monday.
All right.
All right.
Have a good Friday the 13th.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thanks, boys.
All right.
Thanks. That's Pam Yonke from the Midwest Farm Report, which you can hear all over the Civic Media Network.
Yeah, you can hear it right here on the morning show.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Coming up on just
Well, we're just trying to help, you know, rural communities.
Yes.
Keep them updated, and Pam is the best person for that.
Yeah, she's been doing the Midwest Farm Report for a long
time.
You used to work with
her. I used to work with her at WTDY a long time ago. And,
many
you know,
years
I filled
ago.
In for Sly in the morning,
right.
And she'd be in her office typing away and doing her preparation for her show and stuff like that. And I'd just drop in and sit down and start talking to her about farm stuff.
Yeah, it's great stuff.
I'm fascinated by farming products and technology that's going on in farming,
Fantastic.
Making it easier for the farmers.
We got our first text of the day here at 608-879-8255 or on the Civic Media app. You can always text us. This is from our correspondent in St. Francis near Milwaukee there. Doug says, is there a John and Gordy ornament for the Christmas tree at the Capitol? No, but that's a great idea. We should make one and sneak in there and put it on.
We should give them our balls.
Our John and Gordy balls. Just put a hook on them and throw them in there.
Ouch.
Ooh, that one. Awful. Okay. 29 pass. Coming back with more Idiocracy right around the corner.
You're an organ donor, right? Well, here's a tragic fact. Approximately 20 people die each day waiting for precious donated organs. You could make a life-saving decision simply by getting that important dot on your driver's license. That little dot shows those who need to know that you've made a decision to donate organs at a critical time. Go to heroicdeed.com to learn more about the importance of organ donation and how you can make your wishes known. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. HeroicDeed.com.
As the 21st century began, human evolution was at a turning point, a dumbing down. With no natural predators to thin the herd, it began to simply reward those who reproduced the most and left the intelligent to become an endangered species.
What an idiot! Oh, what a loser!
Now listen, Grapehead. I'll explain it so even you can understand it.
Idiocracy.
For the smartest guy in the world, you're pretty dumb sometimes.
Pretty stupid. And we highlight those actions. Mostly one party is guilty of all these infractions, and we like to highlight them here on the program and talk about it. You know, maybe if we just have a conversation about all of these crazy things that go on in Idiocracy, we can work it through and try to come to some kind of agreement. I'm just kidding.
I was going to say, do you think we're inadvertently doing the opposite of what we intended and, in fact, inspiring more idiocracy by doing this?
Well, you would think. Now, if everybody did listen to this program, it's a local program. It's not a network statewide program, sadly. You know, we're working on that. We're trying to get people at least to think, hey, you know, put these guys on statewide so we can have a conversation. But, you know, we're working on it. We're certainly trying to at least highlight some of the frailties that we have seen so far in the political system that we love so much here on the program. And I can't wait to get to the Trump elves, but we're not going to do that exactly yet. Okay. We're going to play something from the Daily Show, and I'm kind of filling in here because Gordy took the longest time ever to get a cup of coffee.
He had to go and get a cookie and microwave it. Well, he had to have a warm cookie before he came back on the air.
Well, it's some of your stale banana bread.
Oh.
Is it? Oh, really?
Yeah.
You almost started a fire in the microwave yesterday trying to heat up a snack.
It was a chocolate chip cookie.
That's Catherine's banana bread.
Oh, really? Yeah. Well, somebody left it out, and now it's all crunchy and stale.
Oh, my God. Can't we take care of food around here? What's wrong with you people? Oh,
I put the chocolate chip cookie in there yesterday, and it was
burning.
I forgot about it, and it was going on there for about 2 minutes.
A chunk of burning love, man.
Open the microwave up, God. And all this smoke came out. Yeah,
all right, we're about to get into Idiocracy here, and I was explaining how this Daily Show cut that I have on Pete Hegseth is something I think that, and I want to highlight this, I think it explains a lot of things that we think logically. When you hear a lot of these questions or little points that they bring out, which are funny and the crowd loves, but really... it's logical. It's logical stuff, and we're laughing at the lack of logic and common sense by the mega political party. Okay. All right, you can't call them Republicans anymore because that is gone. That's history. Now we have a strongman leader, a dictator of the country, and I don't think there's a Republican Party anymore. They all kiss the ass of Trump. And I don't know why, but they are. In fact, if I had a chance, I would boycott Amazon now, and
why?
I'd boycott Facebook.
Why?
Because those two billionaires are sitting there, you know, playing up to him, donating money to his inauguration. I would boycott them. I don't normally think of boycotting anything because, really, you know, still want to buy their products.
Yeah, what good does it do, really?
But, man, this is too much. You know, the billionaire class is culminating in this administration, and we're going to see them take everything they possibly can in the next 4 years. I promise you. That's it. I don't want to see it happen, but I promise you. Anyway, the Daily Show clip that I'm about to play, it's common sense. They bring it up. They act like it's a joke, but it really isn't. Check out this on Pete Hegseth.
Things are a little rockier for a different Trump appointee, Pete Hegseth, nominee for Secretary of Defense and veteran of multiple tours with Captain Morgan. Last week, his nomination looked like it was in big trouble, probably because people were worried he'd have to blow into a breathalyzer before entering the Situation Room. But let's check in on how it's going now.
After a rocky start, Pete Hegseth, President-elect Trump's intended choice to leave the Pentagon, is on the rebound.
He's much better off this week than he was last week.
Some Republicans, including ones like Senator Tommy Tuberville out of Alabama, someone who's very close to Donald Trump,
listen,
have brushed off these reports of excessive drinking.
Is he a drunk? I mean, does he hang out in bars overnight? Does he drink for lunch and dinner and breakfast?
Does he piss martinis olives? No? Well, then give this man security clearance. I'm sorry, but he's not drunk every second of his life. It's a pretty low bar.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, is the only bar that Pete Hegseth hasn't been thrown out of. Look, you can argue what the exact definition of a drinking problem is, but I think a good barometer is everyone in the country talking about how much you drink? Then you probably have a drinking problem. So that's one excuse for putting Hegseth in charge of the Defense Department. But let's hear another one from Oklahoma Senator Mark Wayne Mullen. Yes, that's his name.
What I'm saying is when you're talking about drinking at 10 in the morning, that's a drinking problem.
Yeah.
Now, it doesn't mean that there should be a stigma.
There's a lot of politicians that have a drinking problem, Jake.
Of course. But I guess my question is...
Yeah, and then there's probably a lot of media that has a drinking problem, too.
Yeah.
So it's okay now.
A lot of people have drinking problems, but they're not trying to run the Pentagon. It's like he's saying, nobody cared about my drinking before I got behind the wheel, and now all of a sudden it's a problem. Yeah, it's a problem. Yeah. But even if he's confirmed, Pete seems to understand that being blackout drunk 23 hours a day might be a problem, which is why he's offering to change.
He's been telling members of the Senate Republican Conference that if he were confirmed as Secretary of Defense, he would not drink alcohol at all. He would abstain from drinking.
This is the biggest deployment of my life, and there won't be a drop of alcohol on my lips while I'm doing it.
It's good enough for me.
That's good.
When has an alcoholic ever promised to do better and not followed through? And it seems like it's good enough for Donald Trump, too.
The fact that there are these allegations against him, the fact that he said to some senators reportedly he'll stop drinking if he gets this job, yeah. Does that worry you?
No, I think that everybody has something that they can stop. Some people can stop eating. I'm lucky I'm not a drinker, but I could stop eating.
Stop eating. Okay, now we're going to continue this, but
okay.
If you want to pick an example of something you can stop doing,
yeah.
Eating is not one of them. All right, continue.
Okay. I'm lucky I'm not a drinker, but I could stop eating.
Good. Stop eating. Please do it for us.
I think I speak for everyone when I say, sir, no, you couldn't. All right. I guess he means eating junk food. But still, there's a big difference between alcoholism and eating. Mm-hmm. No one's ever said, Dad, you came home full again. If he can just steamroll the senators on this one issue, he wins. Like, the whole completely unqualified part about his resume is totally forgotten. But don't forget, if this guy quits drinking to become Secretary of Defense, his only qualification is that he quit drinking to become Secretary of Defense.
And that's it. All common sense, logical things to say and think. And, it turns out to be comedy. After
so
all.
What do you think? Is he going to pass the
yeah,
test?
Yeah.
He's going to get in, isn't he?
Yeah.
I mean, it seems like they're,
I think it was Lindsey Graham who basically said, yeah, I think he's better off than he was a couple of days ago. Nothing's changed. I don't get it. Oh, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I mean, if you wait long enough, the pain of all of this information kind of wears off, and you don't think, well, it's not that serious after all. Sure, he's a heavy drinker. Sure, he's going to be in charge of the defense. Now, what the hell, right? Let's see what happened. Wait and see.
Sure.
Like my brothers.
That's it.
This is what they're saying to me at Christmas.
So he'll probably get in. Into the cabinet.
Yeah.
Looks like RFK Jr. They really haven't focused on him much lately. It's kind of, under the radar.
We can only take so much pain. We don't want to talk about too many of these people all at once because it's really depressing, right?
All right. Yeah. And RFK Jr. wants to get his niece in the CIA.
Yeah.
Did you see that story? Because he wants her to investigate the JFK assassination. So let's go back 50 or 60 years in time and straighten that whole thing out. Wow.
Well, the thing here is
that never ends.
The press, I mentioned this before, but the press never brings up the word nepotism. I don't know why. So they get away with putting their family members into the administration all the time. And if you brought up the word nepotism, it's a very bad word to bring up into anything. And because they don't use it, they're allowed to just put everybody they know, all their best friends, all of their
family,
relatives
yeah.
within the administration
let's
and
let
just
them
let
in.
Them get away with it,
sure.
right?
Why not? Yeah.
All right.
It is 6:44, and it's cold out there this morning, 2 degrees. We'll get up to a high just in the mid-teens this afternoon. This portion of the John and Gordy Morning Show is brought to you by Verlo Mattress. You can curl up under the blankets on a Verlo mattress and sleep better, dream bigger, on a handcrafted Verlo mattress, and they have a lot of accessories, too. Go to their stores on Madison's east side or west side, or just check them all out at online at verlo.com.
All right. Hey, we got a text here from Green Bay. Gretchen out there in Green Bay says it listened to you in Green Bay because I hate listening to the two Republican morning shows here. So you go. Yeah. Fantastic stuff. All right. Now, I want to get to Ilan and
what's he up to?
Vivek. They are unelected bureaucrats. Unelected bureaucrats.
But they're going to straighten things out. They're going to be in the Department of Efficiency, right? They're creating their own department.
Yes.
Just the two of them?
Doge. But here's the thing. For the last 40 years, correct me if I'm wrong, Republicans have complained about the unelected bureaucrats in Washington. In fact, the Supreme Court, did just that. They defanged the administrative process under the administration. They took away the power of the administrators underneath the president because they're unelected. So now we have two unelected bureaucrats put in charge not in the government. We never elected these people. No one ever asked them for their opinion. But now they are going to offer their opinion, and they're going to cut big, big-time programs from the public.
And they're going to let a lot of people go. They're going to, you know, cut jobs. A lot of federal workers going to be out of work.
That's right. It's an independent advisory panel. That's all they are. But wait, they're unelected bureaucrats. Ramaswamy said this. There are three branches of government, not four. Oh, really? Okay, now we have four. This supposed fourth branch was what we called the administrative state, and he has threatened to target the jobs of those workers in the administrative state. Not DOGE, which isn't elected, and they are unelected bureaucrats. Just a little reminder. But unlike the heads of those agencies, Ramaswamy and Musk won't face Senate confirmation. They aren't a part of the executive branch. And unlike the jobs those workers do, their duties aren't authorized by any congressional statute. Musk lodged this similar criticism in the past. The unelected and unconstitutional federal bureaucracy currently has more power than the presidency, legislature, or judiciary. Musk posted that on X, and he said, this needs to change. So then they come up with an unelected bureaucracy of their own outside of government, and they're going to tell government officials what they should cut and should keep.
Well, I don't know. This is just no problem. They're coming in from the outside. They can, you know, they know better than anybody else.
Why do we
what
have
can
to
be cut?
Why do we have to put up with 40 years of them telling us that they hate unelected bureaucracy,
and then
they create one outside of the government?
Bureaucracy, yeah.
Outside, I mean, it's even worse. It's
again,
outside
the logic. It's illogical, and yet in their minds, that's a perfect option.
Yeah, and it's what John Stewart brought up, and I'm going to bring this up constantly because I thought it was a great observation. Mm-hmm. There are rules and regulations.
Yeah,
there are loopholes to those rules and regulations, and that's what the Republicans and the megas focus on, the loopholes. And then there's the norms, which Democrats always talk about. Well, you know, we don't normally do this, and this is what we always do here, and, you know, we can't possibly do that because that's not normal. Mm-hmm. We stay with the norms, and we're getting our asses kicked by people who are looking for the loopholes.
That's the way it goes.
Yeah.
It is 6:48. Coming back. Oh, a new Christmas item. President Trump elf.
Yes.
On the shelf.
Oh, it's bendable this time.
Oh, can't wait. More of John and Gordy coming up.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
As we dream of laying on the beach, feeling the warm breezes blowing off the ocean. Ah, yes.
Yep, not around here.
No.
It's 2 degrees this morning, degrees. 17 for a high today. Yeah. What's going on out there?
We got the leaf blowers out there.
Oh, good, because there's a lot of
on
leaves.
State
they got
Street.
Two of them. Two of them today. Because there's so look at that tree. There are no leaves on that tree at all. There's one tree.
Well,
over there, and it has no leaves left. So look, what are they doing?
They have an important duty out there, and I'm not criticizing them. I mean, that's a heck of a job, right? And they're both doing this to make sure that the job is done well.
But you can see, there are no leaves in front of their leaf blowers at all. It's not even.
I think you're looking at the wrong thing.
Hey, hey.
They're blowing dust off the sidewalk.
Dust. Exactly.
Okay?
The people of Madison approved the city referendum. Oh, they approve of these people having the leaf blower job.
Okay. That's right.
All the way through winter?
Exactly. Yes. Yes.
Okay. Okay, I'll be honest.
Yeah,
they
what?
Have provided entertainment for our show.
Well, that's true.
Maybe the listeners can't see them, but we certainly enjoy seeing them out there working hard.
Mm-hmm. Hey, coming up in just a few minutes, we will reveal the key word for the grown-up gift list text-to-win contest for mm-hmm. the 7 o'clock hour, so stand by for that.
They have those really cool backpack leaf blowers. Yeah. I bought
one because
they were so – no, I had one.
Oh.
And they were so cool, but you know what? They're right next to your ears.
You know? Oh, they're
right, and you lose your hearing.
Oh, that's sad.
I thought you were going to say they have a bunch of adult toys because it's the grown-up gift list, right?
Yes, that's right.
Adult
that's
toys. Right.
Well, I got a toy for you, boy. It's the new 2024 President Trump elf. Oh, man.
Do you have a picture of that?
I do.
Wow.
I wanted to show you guys the picture because what I'm about to say, I think, is very obvious. Let me hold this up to the camera.
Okay. You've got a picture of, there are three of them in a row. Boy, they look awful skinny. I mean, compared to what they're based on.
Okay, they're three
like,
in a row because
it looks like an elf on the shelf with Trump's face photoshopped.
That's all it
it
looks like.
If you buy two, you get one free. That's why there are three in a row. But what I'm showing you is that it looks like he's taking a pee. They have the arms folded toward his crotch.
That's unfortunate.
All three of them. Doesn't it?
Who designed this?
Like they're peeing.
Are these real?
Yes.
Seriously?
No, no.
How much are they offering for
these things? I didn't catch the price. I'm sure it's excessive, whatever it is.
Does this go along with the other Christmas goodies that the Trump family is selling, like Melania's ornaments and the fragrance that Trump put out?
Of course. Of course. This is just part of it. They're, you know, putting a department store in the White House.
In the empty buildings?
Yes, the empty buildings.
Washington?
Yeah, when they get rid of the Department of Education.
Yeah.
Okay, it says here, the most patriotic Christmas companion, okay?
Mm.
Now, get this. Last year, they were a little stiff. So now they're posable. And that's why they look like they can pee. We wanted a new and improved version so they could pose the Trump elf.
Who comes up with these ideas?
Here's the thing.
Crazy.
You know, they thought, oh, this would be a positive. You know, you can do anything you want with it now by posing it in some which way you want.
No.
I'm thinking, well, hold on here. That may not be a good idea.
No.
Get ready to infuse your holiday season with a dash of political humor and festive spirit. Place this Trump elf around your house. Talk about really irritating the relatives.
Apparently.
Buy multiple and place a president elf, Trump elf, in different rooms or give them to the family. There you go. There's a little Christmas suggestion for you. They probably have some place where you can find all this junk. All right. Now, okay, this is the Christmas gift of Christmas gifts, okay?
Hmm.
You know, we've got the pod coffee makers out there, right?
Sure.
You know, all different kinds. You know, the espresso, and you've got the regular K-cups.
Yeah.
Get ready, folks. This is the big one. It's the Bartesian Duet Pod Booze Machine. I call it the booze machine. And keep Pete Hegseth away from this baby. Let's play Cut 81 here.
Okay.
Listen.
Imagine making premium cocktails at the touch of a button. Introducing the new Bartesian Duet. Our most compact home cocktail maker. Bartesian crafts cocktails with the premium ingredients you'd expect from a cocktail lounge. Simply insert a cocktail capsule. Select your strength to freshly mix in spirits. And enjoy.
I'll have a rum and coke, please. Oh, you just put the pod in? And
you put a pod in the machine.
I'm sure that tastes great.
And then you can set the level of alcohol. The mix that you want.
That's a great idea. Yeah.
Do you have to keep it filled with different kinds of alcohol?
Yeah. Well, of course.
Yeah, they have the canisters on top of the machine, and you fill them with whatever poison you want. And I guess they have different pods for different booze.
Wow. That's a great idea. Just
it is kind of a good idea, but it's really quick and easy, and I think this will encourage a lot of people to drink.
To drink more, yeah. Well, it may replace bartenders. They just put these machines in the bars. You know, they're doing that more and more with wine places.
Yeah, you can serve yourself now,
right?
You can
serve yourself, yeah.
But now, if you think about this, you can have it at your party, and you can have your own personal bartender just by putting a pod in the machine.
There you go. Sounds like fun to me.
Well, talk about encouraging.
Everybody have to wait.
Heavy drinking society.
One drink at a time.
You know, we may need this, I think, for the next 4 years. Let's get one for the studio.
I was going to say, that's what we need on our Christmas list for the studio.
Yeah. You can booze it up every morning here.
We should.
Great. Okay, that's it for our first hour. But right around the corner, we'll reveal the grown-up gift lifts text to win contest keyword for the 7 o'clock hour. And Rocker will join us. Around 7:30 for the Max Inc. preview on John and Gordy in the Morning.
That's right.
Yes. Gordy in the Morning.
That's
as we were saying,
let the sun shine.
It's the John and Gordy Show.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.